Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. This is episode 66 of the Real Talk with Dana podcast. And today we are talking with Chelsea Spinos, who is a health coach who focuses on integrating spiritual practices like Ayurveda with modern nutrition and exercise to help her clients develop their mind-body connection more deeply. Today, we are digging into Chelsea's experience with eating disorders, with body dysmorphia and exercise addiction, and how she was able to start changing her relationship with food and her body. So on the podcast, especially the past couple of weeks, past couple of months, we've been talking a lot about different people's personal stories with recovery and the different tools that they use to overcome their disordered eating or the need to control their food and improve their body image. And as you guys have been able to tell, I like to provide as many different modalities and tools that people have been successful with as possible. So obviously, when we're providing a lot of different perspectives here, you might connect with some, you might not connect with others, you might think some are super woo-woo and like way out there, maybe some are too religious or spiritual for you, but it's important to keep in mind that all of these have worked for someone somewhere, so I would like you guys to keep an open mind. I'm in no way saying, like, specific to this episode that Chelsea's story or way of recovery is like way out there or anything. I've actually been meaning to kind of put this disclaimer in here, or whatever you want to call it, for a while, but it's just taken me a little while to get around to it. And then, so in the same light, whether we're talking about body image and relationship with food, or we're talking about interpretations of nutrition science and healing modalities, you might not agree with every opinion expressed on this show. I might not agree 100% with the perspectives or opinions that are shared on this podcast as a whole. But what I'm trying to do here is provide an unfiltered, vast range of opinions and perspectives on health and healing and nutrition for you guys in the hopes that something here will resonate with someone somewhere, even though it might not resonate with everyone everywhere. And just as like a general philosophy, I think it's really important to expose yourself to a range of opinions and information on many sides of the spectrum in whatever realm we're talking about, so that you don't get so pigeonholed into one modality of healing or eating or exercising, because let's be honest, this is why people get so religious and kind of cultish around food and exercise and all that kind of stuff. So even just being exposed and open to healing or hearing other perspectives and trying to see them from another perspective and really put yourself in someone's shoes, even if you don't completely agree with them, can really help you get over perfectionistic tendencies that can actually fuel disordered eating and the need to control your food and exercise patterns. So that's my little like disclaimer, not only for today, but like for the general broad range of this podcast. So anyway, that was much less about this episode with Chelsea and me just giving a massive like rant or disclaimer. So let's finally get to this fun episode with Chelsea Spinos.
Thank you, Dana, for having me on. My name is Chelsea. I'm a mind-body transformation coach that integrates spiritual practices like Ayurveda, law of attraction, and manifestation with modern exercise and nutrition science to really help people connect more deeply with their mind and body connection. So for me, my wellness journey started a couple of years ago, and actually started around the time where it was kind of a dark time in my life, to be quite honest. I was living in a pretty toxic living environment. My parents had lost the family business, and it made me feel like I had really no control over my life or my circumstances. So to feel better, I sought out fitness, exercise, diet, and I thought that by controlling what I would eat, how my body looked, how much I exercised, I would regain a sense of control over my life again. Turns out it doesn't really work like that. I became really passionate about fitness just because it put me in this space that took me a bit out of my mind, and it really got me out of my head in terms of anxiety or stress that I felt. And initially it started out as me wanting to change my body, which I think is for a lot of people and a lot of women, people just trying to conform to a certain body image. But over time, I just would get in these really beautiful kind of meditative states while I was exercising. And it got me really curious about the connection between the mind and the body and how it also connects you a lot deeper with your soul. And so I had spent a couple of years battling various eating disorders, had body dysmorphia, and I eventually got myself out of it as I became a lot more educated around nutritional science and how the body actually is using foods, how food is really just a form of nourishment and energy for the body that also connects a lot with your mind as well and impacts your mental state. And so over time, fitness had really changed and morphed into this very like spiritual connection for me, where initially it started out as just being very focused on the physical body, but then I started to realize how wellness actually is impacting you on multiple energy levels, and not just at the physical level, but also at the mental and the spiritual levels. So this over time led to kind of a spiritual breakthrough moment for me. This happened not too long ago, about a year ago, where I was on a run actually and experienced an out of body experience. And this is still kind of hard to quite find words for, but I felt like I had become everything around me, and I felt a huge wave of release just flood over my being. And I started crying and laughing and smiling, and it was very intense. And from that point on, I couldn't see anything the same. My entire perception of my internal self changed, my external reality changed, and I found myself on a pretty deep spiritual path and really trying to understand, like, what just occurred, and what is this connection between the mind and the body? And so that really was the catalyst for a journey into spirituality while still being very much involved in fitness and wellness. But there was a huge shift. And with this came a lot more appreciation for my body and a lot of gratitude for it, and just viewing the body as this vessel and gift that you were given in this lifetime to really experience and enjoy life as a human being. And I became very fascinated in other forms of mind-body connection. So that's where Ayurveda really came in for me. So with Ayurveda, it's all about balancing the mind and the body. And if you are in alignment with your true nature or the elements that make up your being, then you feel a huge sense of alignment. You feel like your highest self. And this really helps you connect to a more liberated state. And Ayurveda extends into pretty much all of life, where Ayurveda is really much a lifestyle of, yes, food is impacting you and it's impacting your mind and your body at different levels, but so is exercise, so is the routine that you're following on a daily basis, so is the work that you're doing for a living. And all of these different factors are really playing into the role of your overall wellness and your connection between the mind and the body. So it started out very much like a typical fitness journey of being on the physical side, wanting to change my body, but it definitely created something within me that was much deeper.
That is so cool. Thank you for sharing. Because as we talked about before we started recording over email and stuff, like I actually have a pretty big passion for Ayurveda, but I haven't really talked about it that much on the podcast. It's kind of an underlying principle that helps me personally with intuitive eating and the whole like mind-body approach, but I haven't really talked about it too much yet. So I would love to know, like, what led you to Ayurveda, or how did you even discover it?
Yeah, so for me, it kept popping up. And I find this with things that I become interested in, where I just notice synchronicities happening. And I think this goes in a lot with like the law of attraction and manifestation of, you're attracting a certain energy that you're putting out. So I would just meet people that were Ayurvedic practitioners very randomly, or I would go to the library and just stumble upon a book around Ayurveda, or I had done a retreat in LA and I was staying in this woman's house and she was an Ayurvedic practitioner and Kundalini yoga instructor, and she had just a whole bookshelf of Ayurveda books. And so Ayurveda, I feel like, kind of came to me while I was also putting out some sort of energy around that as well. And yeah, I can't really pinpoint one specific moment. Like, I hadn't sought it out. I do feel like it just kind of found its way to me. And I think that was just naturally because of my curiosity of mind-body connection.
Right. So obviously that was very transformational for you. But can you talk about more the specific things or maybe tools that you used or practices you used to help change your relationship with food and your body?
Yeah. So when I initially started out, I was really into the whole clean eating thing. And I think it's totally important to be nourishing your body with unprocessed, very healthy foods from the earth, essentially. But I had found that it started creating this idea of restriction in my mind that some foods were good and bad, and I became really fearful of certain foods. And over time, it became a very unhealthy mind state around food, and it made me fearful of foods that I once ate all of the time. And through that, I just became very like mentally and physically exhausted. I was losing a lot of weight. I didn't have a good relationship with food or my body image. And I had then stumbled upon a video around modern science and flexible dieting, which was an approach that was pretty big in bodybuilding, that more like physique focused world. And it was saying like, well, your body isn't really knowing if you're eating like a donut or broccoli, quote unquote. So it's like people have made up the words for that, but the body is just seeing protein, carbs, fats, and then all of the vitamins and all of the minerals within that food. And so at the time, I was like, huh, this makes a lot of sense, because I've taken biology, I've taken chemistry, I understand that there's like an energetic value to food. And so over time, I just slowly started adding in foods that I would have like never touched. Like, I remember eating a Pop-Tart every day for a week because I just wanted to see if I would still have abs. And nothing in my body changed physically. And it made me really curious, like, okay, then why are we restricting certain foods, or why are we thinking that these foods are going to make you fat and these foods are going to make you have a really muscular or thin body? And it became apparent to me that there's a really a science to this all on the physical level. And so over time, it was me just like adding in foods and being okay with it and starting to balance out eating like 90% healthy foods, because I just love the taste of like vegetables and fruits and whole grains and all of that, but then still allowing myself to have a treat every now and then and not be like scared to eat a piece of cake if I was out with my friends or going out to dinner. And just realizing that the impact on my body shape wasn't really making a huge deal gave me a lot more like courage to add these foods back in. But over time, it shifted again a bit, where I started noticing, especially around Ayurveda, I started noticing that certain foods would make me not feel good, but they would be healthy. So I would eat a lot of raw foods. I would have kind of like those sparkling water drinks, and I would just notice that I would have a lot of bloating. And it didn't make too much sense to me, because I was thinking like, well, I'm doing everything right. I'm eating healthier foods. I had gone vegan, and I just wasn't feeling my best self. And then when I delved into Ayurveda, it was becoming really apparent that one of my doshas was out of balance, which I was experiencing a vata imbalance. So vata is a dosha, which is an energetic body that the elements are air and then ether and space. And so if you have a lot of those elements in your body from the foods that you're eating, because the foods you are eating also have another energetic layer to them beyond just calories. So with those foods of raw foods, cold foods, like smoothies or A lot of salads, raw vegetables, bubbly drinks, sparkling water. There's a lot of air in all of those. And so it was creating this imbalance in my body that was then coming up as feelings of bloating and just not digesting well. And so it became a lot more apparent to me that food is impacting my body at a lot of different levels, and I need to be aware of my own body type. And the more I went into Ayurveda, I was starting to realize how this is also affecting your mental state. So I would be kind of spacey and a bit like with my thoughts all over the place. And a lot of it was, again, tied to this vata imbalance. There was so much air in my body. And so I had to really change my diet and my approach to that to bring myself back into balance. And by honoring that balance, it made me have a much more healthy relationship with food and really seeing food as this nourishment for both the mind and the body.
So, for people who don't know, can you explain a little bit more about the three doshas?
Yeah, so in Ayurveda, there's three different doshas, which are comprised of the five elements. So water, air, earth, and then ether, space. So for the three doshas, we have all three of them, but there's one or two that dominate our being. So it's our dosha constitution. So first one is vata, which is air, and then space and ether as the elements. So with vata, this is the mental aspects of it, is somebody that is very creative thinking, kind of flowy. They have a lot of thoughts. This can also manifest as imbalances of being too up in your head or like too spacey, too much stress in the body, being very anxious. And physically, a vata is more on the slender and leaner side, and they have thinner features. They're able to eat like a lot of food and not really gain weight. So you can think of these people having a lot of high metabolism because they're always just moving. They're very, again, like you can think the wind that's moving a lot and it's constantly in flux. And so that would be like the vata energy. And there's some different imbalances, like I said, being anxious, being stressed. Physically, they might experience cold hands, feet, dry skin, dry hair, brittle nails, cracking joints, because there's so much air in the body. For a pitta, that is fire and water as the elements. Water being more like you can think there's different forms of water. So for a pitta, it's more like that steamy aspect of water. So with a pitta, mentally, they're very ambitious. They can achieve goals, set them out. They're constantly striving. This could also manifest as being a little bit more rooted in the ego self because they're trying to attain goals constantly. Physically, they have a stronger, more muscular build. They can put muscle on pretty easily and are very athletic in nature. And again, like a vata, they move around a lot and they have a lot of energy. And so for pittas, imbalances can also occur as like too much fire in the body, where it can manifest as skin irritations, heartburn, trouble digesting. And for a kapha, which is the last one, this is the water and the earth elements. So with a kapha, they're mentally a lot more grounded. They're comforting, they're loving, they're kind of like that friend that you can always go to for advice and they just console you. And with a kapha physically, they're a bit larger in build. They can put on both like muscle or fat pretty easily. So they have to be a little bit contingent on their diet of eating lighter foods to just go with that. And they do live a more sedentary lifestyle because they're a lot more relaxed, they're a lot more grounded, and they're definitely not moving around as much as a vata or a pitta. And so for a kapha, any imbalances could really just be like stagnation, being a bit too comfortable where you're not really moving with the constant motion of life, and then also just putting on weight a bit easier. But overall, like a kapha has that water and earth energy, so their joints are really well lubricated. They have like thicker hair usually. Their skin is pretty glowing and full of like the right amount of oil. So all of these different doshas, we have all three, but there's one or two that are more dominant in who you are. And so with Ayurveda, you really want to live a life that is going to bring your dosha constitution in alignment and in balance.
Yeah, so to sum up, for example, so we have Vata, who is very like light and airy and stuff. So in terms of the foods that we want to be eating, they're more like grounding foods. For Pitta, for people who are like fiery and stuff like that, we want to eat more cooling foods to try and like calm the ego down. Mm-hmm. And then for Kapha, who are very, we like to think of grounded, they actually do better with like lighter kinds of foods.
Exactly.
So I would love for you to talk about, I know before you mentioned you, part of your recovery journey was discovering Ayurveda, but also discovering nutritional science and how these foods actually worked in the body. So now, how do you combine Ayurveda and nutritional science in your daily life and when you work with people?
So the way that I approach it really is I take a look at what is your fitness goal physically, and then what is your dosha constitution. So for instance, I'm a Vata Pitta, so I have to, and say I, so say I'm a Vata Pitta and I want to lose 5 pounds. So in that sense, you have to take into account the calories and macronutrients of the meals that you're consuming throughout a day. But at the same time with Ayurveda, I would want to fill those calories with foods that are going to help bring my dosha in balance. So in that sense, it's like looking at how many calories you're eating per day and then filling that amount of calories with foods that are correlated with your dosha constitution.
And then what about people who are trying to get away from counting calories because they do have either a history of disordered eating or exercise and mm-hmm. they're trying to improve their relationship with their body?
Yeah, so I think with intuitive eating, this is something that I currently practice. I mean, I had spent years weighing out my food, so I feel like I already naturally have a good idea and sense for portion sizes. So I would say like intuitive eating can be really great to blend with Ayurveda, because with Ayurveda, you will, if you're aware of any imbalance, you will naturally eat the right amount of food for your body. So if you're experiencing some sort of like Vata imbalance, and you know that you're naturally a Vata, you're going to need to eat a bit more, and you'll understand that through the foods that Ayurveda would be recommending, because those grounding foods like whole grains, root vegetables, different foods like that, that are a bit more dense. So if you are following Ayurveda, you actually are following an intuitive eating practice. Same with if you're a Kapha. So with a Kapha, like we said, you want to eat lighter foods. So typically the lighter foods are going to actually have fewer calories, whether you're aware of that or not. And so again, with intuitive eating, if you're eating in relation to your dosha constitution, your body will naturally get to that set point that it's supposed to be at physically, and then it will help you have that like mental clarity and that healthy relationship with food, because you're going to feel a lot more aligned and in tune with your mind and your body connection.
Interesting. And then in terms of your relation to exercise or relationship to exercise, I know you've talked about using your Ayurvedic constitution to kind of balance out your dosha by choosing different kinds of exercises. So could you talk mm-hmm. about how that works and then what kinds of exercise that you recommend to balance each dosha?
Yeah, so I had initially come from, initially I was into running, and then I shifted over to bodybuilding and powerlifting. And then now I actually do a mixture of all three because it really helps me feel most aligned with my constitution of being a Vata and Pitta. So going back to the three doshas, you could think of Vata as that very like airy, moving, flowy type of person. So for a Vata, you'll naturally be drawn to exercise that will get your heart rate up and will get you moving a lot. So think running, dancing, high intensity intervals, a lot of cardiovascular exercises, spinning. Those sorts of exercises will be the types of exercises a Vata would want to be doing. And so for like a Pitta, they have that fire energy in them. So for a Pitta, they're going to naturally be drawn to exercise like lifting really heavy weights, like the bodybuilding, the powerlifting, heavy strength training or Olympic training or competitive sports even. And then for a Kapha, since they are a bit more sedentary naturally and have like a slower, more grounding lifestyle and mental physical state, it's like going to be a bit harder for them to really get moving to begin with. Now, those are all exercises that you would naturally be drawn to depending on your dosha. But again, with Ayurveda, the whole emphasis is on balance. So for a Vata, if you're constantly moving and you find yourself running and spinning and going to these like fast-paced vinyasa yoga classes, you know, 5-6 days a week, you're going to want to contrast that with something that is a lot more slower and that will ground you back into your body. So for me, I like to do things like yin yoga or more restorative flows. I actually don't do vinyasa or like power yoga classes anymore just because there was so much movement. And then having a lot of like rest and recovery is really important for a Vata as well because you're moving around so much. And I would also say having like a solid meditation practice is really important to ground you back down. And this is the same for a Pitta because you are exercising at a high intensity with the bodybuilding or the strength training or different sorts of competitive sports. There's a lot of like fire and aggression in those forms of exercise. So again, a Pitta would want to contrast with a slower form of yoga, meditation, something that's going to calm you down and bring you again more grounded and back into the body. And then for a Kapha, since it is like a more sedentary lifestyle, the balance would really just be finding the right amount of exercise that will be like a mixture of, I would say, cardio and strength training are really important to have for a Kapha so that you are, again, like preserving any muscle mass that you do have, but then also removing any excess body fat since you are a bit more prone to that as a Kapha.
So we're talking a lot about balancing things out with food and exercise and meditation and stuff like that, provided that there is an imbalance. Can you tell people a little bit more about, based on their dosha, how they would notice if there is an imbalance and some of the either like warning signs or symptoms or health conditions that might arise because of those?
Yeah, I think there's a few ways that you could figure out the imbalance. You do really have to tap into awareness. So the first would be like a body awareness. So just being aware of how you feel after a meal and how it digested, that's a really big thing. So if you're feeling really bloated or gassy or just like a lot of air in your body, that could be a Vata imbalance. Pittas usually are able to digest food really well, so that's not too much of a problem. But again, if you're having like constipation after a meal or if you feel very lethargic or just, you know, like you felt like you just overate or anything like that, very full and not light and energized, that should be an indication that there's some sort of imbalance. You could also find imbalances like cold hands, cold feet would be like a Vata imbalance. If you have skin irritation or redness, that could be a Pitta imbalance. And so these are just like physical aspects that you can become aware of. And I think the best way to think about it is, again, with like intuitive eating, if you're eating intuitively and you're really paying attention to how food is making you feel physically and mentally even, you can become more attuned for what might be out of balance. I do think it can get a bit harder in terms of lifestyle, which is why I would say for a lot of people to follow like a solid meditation practice, because once you can really still the mind and bring the body just back into center, you'll be a lot more aware of any imbalances that might be happening at the mental state. So for me, I experience a lot of like Vata imbalances. And the way that I become really aware of it is if I sit in meditation and I notice I have a ton of thoughts moving around, I can grab my journal afterwards and do like a stream of consciousness journaling session, or just go throughout my day and be like, huh, I'm feeling very all over the place right now, or I have a lot of thoughts or a lot of limiting beliefs. I need to pay attention to this. So it's really about like walking through life with a bit more awareness that I think is a practice that you have to attune to yourself over time. But with that awareness, it'll be a lot more apparent when you have an imbalance. And again, like the first step would be to know what your dosha constitution is so that it's that much easier to become aware of any of those imbalances that might arise.
Do you have any favorite meditation, either apps or like practices that you like to use that you could recommend to people?
I actually don't use any meditation apps or anything. I usually just do completely silent meditation. or I'll listen to kind of like medicine music where it's like stuff you would hear in like the Amazonian jungle or something, because it feels very grounding for me. But the thing that I actually do is I meditate right after my gym workouts. So some people meditate first thing in the morning, some people meditate in the evening, but I actually do mine kind of like late morning. And I find that this is very effective, because when you're exercising, you're moving a lot of energy around in your physical body, but also in the subtle body. And so with that much movement, you're actually opening up different channels. And in the chakra system, if you are familiar, those energetic centers in your subtle body. And so as you're moving, there's a lot of flow happening. And if you're pretty tapped in between the mind and the body, you'll sometimes even experience like a very flow-like state where maybe you're in a workout and you're like, wow, that hour just went by really quickly. And that's because you really dissociated yourself away from these like constant thoughts in your mind. And so you're creating this like energetic flow of just energy coming through the channel. And so when you sit down and meditate after a workout, you're actually able to really ground all of that moving energy back into yourself. And with that, I find so much awareness comes out of it, and it just puts me in a really beautiful, like very blissful state. This could obviously be different for anybody, but I know there's like really great apps out there. I know a lot of my friends use Insight Timer. I haven't actually used that one, but doing guided meditations is also like great, especially if you have a lot of kind of flowing thoughts or you're just getting started.
Cool. And then you briefly mentioned this, but can you talk more about the chakras?
Yeah. So there's 7 energy centers in your subtle body. So for the root chakra, this is at the base of the spine, and this is really the foundation for feeling very grounded in the material world. So a lot with material possessions, there's money, there's safety in terms of just physical shelter. So feeling very rooted in physical aspect of reality. And then the second one is the sacral chakra. So this is really around our sense of sexuality, pleasure, creativity. And this, again, is still a very rooted energy. The third is the solar plexus. So this is feeling very in control of your life, having a lot of willpower and a lot of conviction. This is where a lot of your self-confidence and your feeling of self-worth also comes into play. The fourth is the heart chakra. So that's obviously the center of your heart. And so this is really around love and joy and feeling a sense of peace within yourself and everybody around you, and has a lot to do with our relationships, both between ourselves and through other people as well. The fifth is the throat chakra. So this is at the throat level, and this is all about expression and communication. So when the throat chakra is open, we feel very aligned with saying our truth and really living out our true nature and who we really are. The third eye chakra is right between the brow. And so this one is tapping into your intuitive nature and your ability to really tap into divine wisdom and feel very connected to a higher level of consciousness. And then the seventh chakra is at the very top of the head, which is the crown chakra. So this is the highest chakra where you're fully connected to this higher power of spirituality and divine consciousness. And so this is where you feel a really like beautiful sense of bliss, and you just feel super tapped into all of the different layers of the world, essentially, that aren't so apparent to the eye. And so you want to be moving all of the energy throughout this channel. And when all of the chakras are open, you can start moving energy from the root chakra all the way to the crown chakra. And that's what can give you that incredibly blissful state. But I think with the chakra system, it's important to know that it's a flowing and open channel. So as you rise energy up to higher levels of consciousness, you also want to ground it back into your body, because in the end, like, we are human beings and we're still having a human experience. So you still want to carry all of that spiritual energy that you might tap into throughout your actual like physical reality and your day-to-day interactions with people and just normal living.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you for that explanation. So if people want to learn more about the chakras and Ayurveda, what are some of your favorite resources for that?
Yeah. So I think I do read a lot of books. My favorite one on the chakras is called The Wheels of Life, I believe. So I would definitely recommend that one. And for Ayurveda, I actually, my favorite one is called Ayurveda and the Mind. Let me check to see if that's the right title. Sorry. Yeah. So my favorite one for Ayurveda is Ayurveda and the Mind, The Healing of Consciousness. This one was really good for me understanding the connection between the mind and the body on a much deeper level. And this book does go into a lot about the different types of foods they eat, how to find different imbalances as well, and just understanding there's a much deeper level to Ayurveda. I think just starting with some of these books is good because Ayurveda can honestly go very, very deep. And you can kind of find yourself in like a rabbit hole of like spiritual information that can get kind of overwhelming to begin with. So I think it's a matter of just becoming more apparent or attuned to the mind-body connection and then seeing the different types of foods that are recommended for the doshas and the different lifestyles. There's a tons of resources out there online too, but also just understanding that it comes down to what can you practice and integrate into your daily life. Like you don't need to do everything that you read. So just pick and choose what would work best for you and best for your lifestyle, and that will be the easiest way to integrate it and keep you doing it for the long run.
Yeah, I love that. And then one question that I love asking all of my guests is what, I guess aside from Ayurveda and chakra stuff, because we've been talking about that the whole time, but what is one of the most influential books that you have read recently?
The Nature of Personal Reality by Jane Roberts. And this is probably the craziest book I have ever read in my entire life. It's this woman that experiences this other altered being that comes through her in the name of Seth. And
Whoa.
she just, yeah, it's really crazy. I had stumbled upon this in the library very randomly. And she is just going on and on and on about life and reality and consciousness and how everybody is essentially living in their own personal reality, and it's dictated a lot by your mind. And there's a ton of not necessarily information, but insights and realizations that she has about the connection between the mind and the body and the soul. And it's so crazy because she's just saying this through this other identity, and like she has no conscious awareness of what she's saying. And her husband is like writing the book down. It's a
Weird.
pretty, yeah, it's a pretty crazy book, and I've had to like read it and be like, huh, let me think through this a little bit, or like, whoa, that really threw things off for me. Let me process that. But I think this is like an insanely good book if you're really interested in like expanding your consciousness and just understanding this like really deep connection that you have between mind, body, and soul. It's pretty fascinating. So I'd recommend this book for now.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely include that in the show notes. And then before I let you go, let people know where they can find you on like social media, your website, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. So my website is chelseamarie.com, and on there I have tons of free resources around Ayurveda. I also have like a dosha constitution quiz, so you can find out which dosha you are. You can also follow me on Instagram at she is Chelsea Marie. And again, I post a lot on Ayurveda, nutrition, exercise, spirituality, and then I had recently started a podcast as well called the Body of Soul Podcast, where I talk about all things wellness and spirituality.
Awesome. That is so cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.